Welcome to Overtures. While my guest and I are in the same friend group and see each other pretty routinely, it was so nice to have a whole hour to specifically chat theater and enjoy each other's humor and company. I hope you enjoy it as much as we did. All links are in the show notes. Take your seats and we'll be starting shortly. Happy Tuesday. Hope everyone's having a great day. Having a good old day here. In New York recently, it's been such a back and forth between winter and fall spring. And a few days ago it was freezing. And today it's back to like the 50 degree weather. And I just gotta tell y'all, I'm so excited for fall spring to be over and for real spring to be happening because I need the sunshine and the dopamine, frankly. But, you know, we'll take what we can get, and it's really nice out today. So I'm gonna try to enjoy the sunlight, the natural sunlight coming in through my window now for this episode, and maybe pop open the windows again later if it doesn't get too cold again to do so. But anywho, I hope everyone's having a good day. And yeah, I'm seeing Shucked tomorrow and I'm absolutely ecstatic. I think I might have mentioned it last episode because I wasn't sure if this episode would end up being before or after I saw it. But I am seeing it tomorrow. I cannot wait to talk about it. But unfortunately, you won't be able to hear much about it until my next episode. And that's not till next week. So I'll talk about it next time, I promise. But I'm stoked. I'm ready for corn puns. So let's frickin' go. But let's go ahead and get started. This is episode 62 of Overtures. From the depths of Cleveland, Rosa King. No, not LeBron, but my guest. Born and raised in Ohio, he's always had a passion for the arts and bringing people to see live theater. After graduating in 2019 from Wagner College, he currently works at Today Ticks, helping people find a seat for their next theatrical or live event. I don't know how it took 62 whole episodes to get him on here, but I'm so glad that we're finally making it happen. And I'm excited for the next however long minutes wise to just chat with a good friend. So without further ado, this is Bill Weatherby.
Hello.
Hello. I'm just okay. So happy to make this work.
I feel personally attacked. No, how long
this took. Here's the thing. That wasn't a you thing. That was a me thing.
Because it was a little bit of a me thing too.
It was a little bit of both. I still haven't had Austin on. We're figuring it out. It's all good. It's one of those things where I was realizing, I was like, oh, I'm going to reach out to like potential guests. I'm going to reach out to them with the Overtures Instagram because like that's the professional thing to do, right?
Of course.
No, it just means it goes to everyone's like, you don't follow them messages. And so
you'll
get notifications and they don't see it. And then I was like, what if I start reaching out to people from my personal Instagram? And there suddenly everyone's like, oh my God, yes, I would love to be a part of it. And I'm like, that's where it was. There's
the hook.
There it is. There's where it's been the whole time. So it's okay. We're making it happen.
It's happening now.
It's here. It's happening.
Episode I literally wrote, also, I think it's so hilarious that I write that bio about that LeBron weird joke that I made, and here I am just in this,
a Cleveland sweatshirt
in this garb. Yes,
it's so on brand.
It's also, okay, it's my personality.
I forgot to send this to you, but I found a listing of an audition on Playbill, and there it's a play. Yeah, okay,
yes,
I guess apparently you know about
yes.
it, but like I was scrolling through and I was just like reading through this EPA or whatever, and I saw that it was like about LeBron,
yes.
And I was immediately like, I need to send this to Bill, and then I promptly forgot to send it to you.
No, like fully, you would probably be like the third person to send it to me.
That I'm not surprised about.
Because my girlfriend sent it to me and I forget who else sent it to me. But yeah, no, that play I actually have been following for a while. Because
love it.
It was like running, I think, in California or Chicago somewhere. And the one of the actors from Abbott Elementary is in it.
Wait, who?
Jacob.
Yeah. Him.
And it's pretty much like two guys who's like whose friendship like evolves around like different stages of LeBron's career.
That's like, so up your alley, Bill.
And it's gonna be off Broadway. And I I'm
you
going
will
to
be at the opening night.
I will be at every performance if I need to be.
I am so excited for that, and I'm so excited to eventually, because I know it'll happen, direct it down the line at some theater.
Yes.
It's gonna be fantastic.
Probably.
Look, if we need to have people over for a reading night just so that you can like enjoy it, let's do another play salon. So I always love to preface with like, how do I know my guest? And most of the time it is Wagner, but like, that's okay. Wagner's a great place. Great way to pull my guests from. We were in the same graduating class together and we met like really early on at Wagner.
Yeah.
I think honestly, you were one of like the first like friends within the theater department that I made.
Yeah. Because we weren't in the same learning community.
No,
we
I
weren't
was
in the same
zero theater people in my learning community. I don't know what happened. They were just like, oh yeah, no.
Wait, yeah. I was
everyone on the 12th floor, which is where the majority of the theater people lived that year.
It was
and
definitely
so
just that.
I was always
just,
going up there.
I think so. I think it was just definitely that. And that's just how it became. Midwest too.
Yeah,
Midwest.
I literally made a note in my notes I wrote, definitely one of those Midwest. yeah. It was definitely one of those. Cause like you, me, Alexis, Jonah, Colton, I know I'm forgetting people, but we're all just like Midwest. Oh, Kevin too. Yeah.
Yep.
We had a strong Midwest crew in our class, which was great.
We
it
did.
Was like every state had its own like representation too. Like we
yes.
almost had everyone in there.
we should get all 50 states.
We covered
states.
All the states. Yeah, exactly.
Get all 50 states into Wagner College right there.
Oh my God. And I remember your birthday was really early on in the school year and how like during our freshman year, the entire 12th floor essentially threw you mm-hmm. a birthday party in like Gatehouse Lounge. And that
yes.
was that's hysterical to me that we did that.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Yeah, because my birthday's in October, so it was like fairly early. I do remember being like shoved into Gatehouse. I did not know it was happening.
It was like surprise.
It was like a surprise party, but I just didn't know what was going on. Especially because I was still getting to know everybody. So like they're throwing me a party. I'm like, oh, this is so cool.
I don't know any of you.
Future parties were awesome and more enjoyable because I like known everybody then.
Exactly.
Like,
but at this point you were like, I'm still getting to know you, let alone get you to college, but it's fine.
Yeah.
And it's great because we worked together on so many projects when we were at Wagner.
Yes, we did.
I think I'm going to try and go in like chronological order, but I'll probably like switch them around.
Yeah.
Wedding singer, definitely. Cause uh-huh. you were in it and then I was a stage hand.
Yeah.
And that was a wild show to work on, especially because it was like smack dab during the election when Trump was elected. I remember you like pulling up the states as they were being called during that final dress rehearsal.
They were upset with me for doing that.
That's fair.
I was too absorbed and I was like, I'm worried about everything else I'm worried about everything. So.
Yeah. Well, and like, what a blessing that we got to work on such a joyful show.
Yeah.
During, like, we literally opened the day after.
Yeah. Something like that.
Like,
or a few
hours,
days after.
Like, essentially hours after it was called. Like,
yeah.
Which was Woo. Insane. And then fast forward a little bit, we worked on, this is where I'm skipping one because I know we're going to talk about everybody for a little while. But for 12th night, after casting went out for 12th night, I remember going up to you and Austin being like, okay, how can I be involved somehow? And I think it was either one of you two were like, we need a costume designer. And I was like, you know what? Never done it, but sure.
That was probably Austin who said it like that.
Yeah. Oh my God. And that was also such a fun show to
that
work
was such
on
a
with
fun
you guys.
Show. That was so fun. Yeah. Cause they, I mean, we, I was just like thrown onto that. Cause like I had submitted a couple other shows to direct that semester and they didn't pick mine, which is fine. But they asked if I wanted to join that team. And that one was so fun to do just cause like we had such a big group of people like from the cast and the behind the table and the costumes and everything, everyone in there wanted to do Shakespeare and it was so great. And I'm pretty sure like I don't know, I could be so wrong, maybe this was being planned before, but like it was around that time that Fiona started the Shakespeare on the Oval. I think it was around that time.
Because of that production. Before then, I don't think any other student-run company on campus had actually produced Shakespeare.
Didn't they do Midsummer? Midsummer too?
Oh.
Midsummer happened.
That's embarrassing because I was in that. But like... I guess clarification, that was the first time CSP had put on Shakespeare, and so not to say it was taken more seriously, because that's getting into the college student-run theater politics, but I think it was one of the first times that like everyone was like, we want to do this together and make this actually really, really fun and take it seriously. So I think it was such a good one to talk about, or a good one to do. And we'll talk about it more, I think, in relation to directing and stage combat later on.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we did Everybody together. Brandon Jacob Jenkins, Everybody.
This little guy, this little number.
I love that you had number. It. You had it ready. You knew.
I did have it ready. I had to search for a while, but I found it. I do still have it. I'm pretty sure it's covered in notes. I don't want to talk about it. but yes, I actually forgot that I only just highlighted the Everybody lines and not the other
anyone else's. Oh, that's so
I think I did that because if
it'd be too many highlights,
and I would throw myself off when I was trying to learn it.
Either that, or you wouldn't have had like enough colors.
Oh yeah, I would have run out. There's too many. It's 10 characters.
Exactly. And for people who've been listening to Overtures for a while are probably like, okay, she's finally talked to everyone who worked on the play, Everybody. Nope, we're not done talking about it. We still have you, and I think I still have Kevin and Drew. After that, I think I have everyone.
Then you get everyone.
Then I've covered everyone. Then I have Everybody.
Everybody.
Assistant directing for Mickey on that show was incredible. And I'm sure you can obviously speak to this even more than I can, but that it was honestly the craziest and best play I've ever worked on.
There have been so many like processes and projects that I've been a part of that always like ring some sort of time with me or memory with me. And that experience was just something else. I mean, it was one of the most stressful, most frustrating, but like the most rewarding experience I think I've ever done.
Yeah.
Just everyone that worked on that just was so willing to just jump around every sort of possible hoop to try a new idea or to try a new character with something. And even just to put the technical parts of it, like forget what the cast had to do. I remember the day that we had to do all the voiceover recording.
Yes.
And when Mickey
looked at me and he was like, you can direct this one. Okay.
Like I was going through the script when I found it, and I was like, I found like some of the voiceover scenes, and I was like, we had to do these 5 separate times. Yeah. But then on top of that, we had to do like different takes of them. So that was a whole day. Like,
Then the soundboard operators had to like pick the right cue based on who pulled what. And for clarification, for those who are like listening and maybe haven't listened to me talk to people who I worked on this show with before, Everybody is a show where there are 5 actors who play the somebodies who essentially pull their role by lottery that night.
It's random.
Every night. And it's random every single night. And it falls perfectly in line with the retelling of the Everyman myth. And you should go read Everybody if you haven't, or go see a production if you see them coming up. Thank God you got that experience to swing a show for Mickey, our director, prior to Everybody's. Because like I couldn't even imagine having 0 experience as a swing before going into a show that essentially requires you to be a swing.
Yeah. Like the experience of swinging before doing pretty much like a show that requires you to swing. It didn't even necessarily though make learning the whole script any easier, but like that's because also with everybody,
you got the script early.
You had this. I had the script early. One, two. Like, you know, there's a 100% chance I was performing every night. Like with when you're a swing, like you're not guaranteed any performances. Like for 1776 with the show I was the swing for, I only went on one time. So
And was that for a performance or for a rehearsal? I forget.
It was like the open dress or final dress. I did it for the courier part. But that was the only time I did it. So like you're not guaranteed any performances when you're just swing. For everybody, like that is it requires you to be a swing because you don't know what part you're playing. Like reaching my hand into that basket every night was, I have known fear in my life, but that is like a fear that will stick with me forever. And I don't know if I'll fear that kind ever again.
No, and that's fair, because I remember even standing off to the side with Mickey every single performance going, oh God, what's it going to be? What's it going to be? What's it going to be? And I remember even talking to, I think it was Maddie Kendall. I realized that also I haven't talked to Sav on here and I need to talk to them about their experience with everybody. But Maddie was saying how she was like, I didn't even have like quote unquote a choice in the matter, because she's like, I was last in line. I just got was left.
That's so true. I always shot to try to be in the middle because I was like, you know, maybe there'll be a less chance there's a part I either didn't want to play or didn't feel as confident. Yeah, I mean, I felt confident in all of them. But, I actually do still have the cast lists because I wrote from, this is the last time I touched this note on here, it was December 8th of 2018, which was like right around, I think that was our closing. I wrote down everybody cast that we did from November 1st, which is like a month before our opening, and then every show. And I don't know why I just continued to just keep it.
No, I'm looking in mine because I have like all the various.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Because I wrote down who played, because also part of it too is as assistant director, I wanted to make sure each of you got rehearsed as equally as possible.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, I essentially sat down one rehearsal and wrote out as many variations of each combination that I could. And I like, because if I think it's like, it can be upwards of, I think it was like 200 something possible combinations. Because it's 5 to the 5th power, because it's if you do like doing the math of it, like it's insane. And I think we only repeated a combination once, and you found that it was like a dress rehearsal or like one of the final rehearsals and a performance repeated once. Other than that, we never repeated the entire time.
We never did. Yeah. And I was like, remembering that I still had this note, as like it took this mini trip down memory lane today before this, I was like scrolling through and I looked at the performances and I was like, it was only me and Maddie as everybody except for the Sunday matinee, which was Kevin.
Yeah.
And I remember like, cause I did it for opening and I remember being so terrified. I was like, for opening, really?
You're like, are you freaking kidding me?
Like, are you kidding me right now? This is not what
But here's the thing, every single show went off without a hitch, and it was incredible because people kept coming back because they wanted to see a chance of someone playing something different, which was so exciting.
Yeah, which is what makes that play so fun. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah, like it's a tough play to do, but it's one that, you might not ever see the same show twice, and because everybody does it differently too.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like somewhere in the depths of like my computer, I still probably have chaotic videos of you and Kevin in like a room in Main Hall rattling off the lines as fast as you can during those line throughs.
Yeah. Especially living with Kevin Atwater.
Yeah, because we were living together too.
We were roommates. And the thing is, we would run the lines, but it got to a point that we were so used to doing the lines that we were running it without any emotion. Like he would be like sitting. Yeah. He would be like sitting in his bed, like writing or doing homework, or whatever. I'm like folding laundry and we're doing like the friendship lines of just, oh my God, everybody, what, you want me to go with you? That's crazy. I actually was like leafing through. I was like, do I remember any of these lines? And a lot of them escaped me.
You were like, not as much.
Yeah, they did stick with me for a while, but then I think
they
have begun to evaporate, and it is sad. But I feel like if I actually like sat down, like committed, I probably would have.
Oh yeah,
you
probably
like
picked them up.
Weeks.
Like, yeah, very easily. I feel like we probably grew the closest during senior year, and not just because of like everybody in 12th night, because of taking directing class together. Cause I think you and I have similar styles of like directing and or senses of humor that go together really well on stage. And that
I think so too,
so
yeah.
Fun to like discover during that process.
I found that we both like the like subtlety if it's a funny thing.
Yes.
Like we like the subtlety and humor, and I think that's what has made like how we were able to give each other like notes in directing and like watch each other's scenes with like good feedback and stuff like that.
Yes.
That very much was part of that. Yeah.
Absolutely. 100%. And it's crazy. We're already 22 minutes in and I haven't even asked like the main questions that I ask on this show, which is like,
oh no,
we're doing it. No, it's great. It's great.
Four-hour episode. Let's go.
Woo-hoo! Let's do it. Amazing. How did you first get started in theater?
Oh my, let's go all the way back. my first like big memory of it, cause I was always like into music and like say when I was like a wee young tot, I guess, but the first big memory for me was what summer was it, summer before I was in like first grade or second grade, something like that. My mom signed me and my sister up for like a local summer theater camp, and I had a solo in it. Like I had like my own song, and it
was
this I know, and it was a show about like, it was like one of those like kids musicals that they like solely like write for these kinds of camps. Like there's like 600 roles, but then even then the directors of the camps have to create like 30 more roles for all of the kids.
Yeah.
This was a show about like the history of like the Lewis and Clark expedition. And there was like a song in it about like the French relationship with like the US at the time. And I was cast as Napoleon Bonaparte. And I had a song, I had to wear a little coat and everything. And that was the beginning. That was the thing that got me. What?
Please tell me your mom has photos. Please.
She honestly probably does. I feel like she's used photos of me and my sister during that time. I actually don't think it was first grade. I feel like it was like third. I don't remember, but elementary school. But I think my mom definitely has a picture of that time.
I love that.
That sounds like my mom.
Yeah, absolutely it does. And I'm excited to ask you the overture question of this show, because frankly, you're familiar with it from like our first days in directing, where Mickey would always ask us, what was the moment that you realized theater is what you want to do with your life?
Oh man.
I know it was hard to answer then and it's hard to answer now.
I feel like that answer for me just changes.
I'm curious
frequently.
To see if it changes from when I last heard it.
Do you know what it is?
I feel like I vaguely remember, like, but I feel like if you said it, I might be like, that sounds familiar, but I can't pinpoint it specifically.
I don't even think I remember. I don't remember what I said.
That's okay.
Then.
That's okay.
I mean that moment definitely is one. Oh man. The thing is, I feel like I would be more prepared for this, and then you don't.
Yeah, for it's me, okay.
I think for me, like, it definitely, I mean, I know it's, like, typical, but it's during one of those, like, first shows you ever see kind of thing, and there are always certain shows that I, like, remember seeing, like, for the first time, and, like, the first, like, show I ever saw was a local, like, church theater group that did, I think it was Godspell. They did Children of Eden another year, but I think it was Godspell. The Stephen Schwartz writing biblical musicals. It was Godspell, and like my sister was in it because like they had like a children's course, but I was like too young. I remember like seeing that and being like so into like the colors of everything and like thinking it was really cool. And obviously like the Jesus dying at the end, I was like, what is that? I don't know. But then the big thing for me was my first like family trip to New York, and the first Broadway show I ever saw, while publicly not received as well, for a kid who is in like the fifth grade, the first Broadway show he ever sees is The Little Mermaid. And seeing it like Under the Sea being done. And I remember because my grandparents took my family, like my parents, my sister, and me, just that group. After the show was over, it was my grandpa. He like looked at me and said, like, you know, those people up there, they get paid to do that. They get to paid to sing and dance and perform for these people every day. And it was like that moment that was clicking for me. I was like, that sounds like fun. Like, I want to do that.
You're like, they get paid.
Like, you can do that. Yeah. Like, you can get paid to wear those wacky costumes. And they also had Heelys in that production.
Because
that's how they would swim. So I was like, and they get to be on Heelys. And my mom would never let me get Heelys as a kid. So I was like, that's even better.
I love that. And I adore the Little Mermaid musical. I didn't get to see it, but I absolutely fell in love with the music of it, and particularly the new stuff they wrote for it. I think it's very underrated, frankly.
Yeah. And it's so crazy. Like, because I saw that original cast. Yeah. So like, I like
you
later
saw
on.
Sierra Burgess.
Like, yeah. And like, I later on in life, I'm like, I saw her in that. Titus Burgess. Like now, like when Titus Burgess started in Unbreakable and everyone's like freaking out, like, I was like, I saw him as Sebastian.
Casual.
But that was definitely the big thing for me, is just like when it finally hit me, like, you can do that for a living. And then when I like find out later in life, you can do other types of jobs in there. It's not just that. Like, there's so many things you can involve yourself in that is in this insane industry. Like, why not? Let's do it. I only want to stay there.
I love that your grandpa had that like moment to turn to you and tell you that. Like that's like a beautiful kind of serendipity that like, I don't think you could even like, I don't know, point to specifically. I just love that so much. Yeah. And going to like that actor side of you, again, we were just talking about like your wonderful comedic sensibility as a performer. It's so much fun to watch, whether you're playing like a lead character or messing around in the ensemble. And I wrote for myself, like specifically like Pirates of Penzance. Like it's so much fun because you involve yourself into like the minute details that like you just have a blast on stage and you know what'll read, which is even more fun.
Yeah, thank you. I always like to make the most of whatever is put in front of me. Yes. I mean, and with Pirates, that was such a fun time. Like, especially like knowing that was my last show at Wagner too. I was like,
balls to the wall at that point.
I will go all out. And then they gave me that like really long wig. Yes. And I didn't know I was getting a wig. Like I like got the rehearsal schedule and it was like wig call and my name was on there. And I was like, this is a mistake. So I go and they're like, you have a wig. This is it. It's like shoulder length, like the longest my hair has or ever will be. And I was like, you know what? This is going to amplify me so much. And I roll with it. Like
it did. It was fantastic.
Yeah. I just like to just go for it. And if it doesn't read, then I'm told it doesn't. And then I adjust it. That's what an actor should do.
Exactly. And then at the same time, you've done your fair share of serious work, seeing as I got to see all of you like die every night in Titanic. Like,
oh my God, I lived. I lived.
That's true. But none of the ushers wanted to be in the audience during the second act, even though we needed ushers in there. And so yeah. I had to be there to watch you all, like, watch everyone die every night. And I'd just be like, you'd all be walking down like the aisle, like exiting the theater. And I'd be sitting back there every single time, like sobbing, watching y'all leave. And I'm just like,
yeah,
what the heck? This is stupid.
Because the thing is, I never tried to like cry during that time because no. I did that for just as a character thing myself, of the fact like I was an officer, so it was like I need to be brave during this. I need to yeah. hold it together for all of these people that are already going through it. So like but there was one night that like I broke, like I was like crying because like we like get the people in our metaphorical lifeboat in the aisle, and I pick up the lamp. Like they gave me this little like lamp that represented the front of the boat, and so I'm holding it, and it's before like, so we start the big ballad, "We Meet Tomorrow," mm-hmm. like that song is starting, and like usually I kind of just stared at like a fixed point during that time, and then there's like a certain point the whole chorus is like does their first chorus, and like we start backing up, the lifeboat starts backing up down the aisle, yeah. and I think Barrett has a solo or something like that, so yeah. like one particular night I'm backing up and I happen to glance up at Nick Barakis, who was playing I think his character was like the officer directly above me or something like that, mm-hmm. So we shared most of our scenes together. His character stays on the Titanic and dies, and I go away on the lifeboat yeah. and live. And there was one particular night I'm backing up with this light, and Nick Barakis is like staring right at me. His eyes are like welling up like no other. And as I'm backing up, like I'm crying right now, just like doing it. Like I'm,
yeah.
like, he stares at me. And like it was also very cheesy as well. Like he stares at me and just like gives a small like grin and just a nod. Like you're doing your duty. And like I just start like, like crying. I'm like, we'll meet tomorrow.
You're like, why would you do that to me?
I know. And like, so
oh my God.
We get to the back and I leave. I'm like, that crap, Nick Barakis. Like, that was a great moment to share with him. Yeah, I did love that show. That was a fun yeah. show.
It was beautiful. And now I'm going to segue into some Instagram questions.
Oh boy.
This first one is from Liam. And I don't know.
Oh, no. Tuffy.
You like jazz?
You like jazz?
Okay, just kidding. I do have another one from him. But if you want to answer this one, you can.
I mean, yeah. Why not? I mean, Liam and I were in a mini band together at Senior Showcase. Exactly. So,
you both play instruments. So there we
exactly.
go.
Exactly. There we go.
Okay. But the real question is, what's your favorite show you've seen in the past year and why?
I have a list of the shows that I've seen. I'm He's a list ready. Person. I'm a That's list fair. Person. Like if I don't, where did it go? There it is. And the thing is I've seen so many things recently.
It's true. You really have. I'm like always looking on Instagram and it's like, Bill's seeing a new show.
Let's see. Oh, I did see Kimberly Akimbo a couple weeks ago. That was brilliant. Like if you can go in blind to that show, go in blind.
That's like, my plan because I currently am still blind. Like I know a little bit, like I get the main like for one sentence plot. That's all I know.
Yeah. I have I'm going to include it's just so many good things. I actually did see Hamilton for the first time, like on Broadway. Like yeah. I'd seen the tour of Hamilton a couple years ago, but I did see Hamilton on Broadway for the first time. So that was like cool to like finally like check the list off. Like yes. I did it. and then Moulin Rouge has a good spot in my heart right now. Me and my girlfriend Angelica, that was our like first show that we saw together. And we've seen it three times together. So that's been our thing.
I still need to see that too. There's like so many that I'm like, yeah, I got it. And then other ones that I'm like, oh, I really need to see that.
Yeah. No, there's some good stuff out there right now.
There's some great stuff.
Yeah, and there's stuff coming soon.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. Like Merrily on Broadway, I need it. I need it so bad. And I know that we can talk ages about that and we'll save that for after. But like, I need to.
It's so,
Oh my God.
I'm so excited for that. I absolutely loved it at Theater Workshop. And it's brilliant.
Oh my God. So going to the directing side of things. So when you took Mickey's class, I'm assuming you already had that idea that you wanted to direct a little bit when you took this class. Did you discover like more of that? Or was that sort of like, oh, I've been wanting to direct, like I'm going to dabble in it? Or were you like, no, I'm taking this to direct?
When I signed up for that class, like that was when I was like, I'm taking it because I would like to try it. Because in high school, I took kind of a directing class. Like I learned like some basics on directing, but because, you know, we were high school, you never were given the chance to like sit down with a scene and like direct.
Right.
It was just kind of like basics and reading a book and stuff like that. But this, and especially just cause I love Mickey. He just has a way of easing everyone into something new that they are not as familiar with. That's the correct way of saying it. Cause you know, like we had such a variety of people in our class.
Right.
And so it was so interesting just to see how everyone would take on different styles of it. And yeah, that's definitely why I signed up. Because I also, whenever I see shows or I watch a movie or a TV show, I always think, even if I really like it, I'm always just thinking like, here's what I would have done to make it even better. Or here's what I've done to improve this part. Like, I'm always just like thinking about how things could be even better. Even if it's just like a tiny
little moment. Yeah, exactly. And you had assistant directed 12th Night with Austin, as we were saying before. I'm curious though, when it comes to directing, what kinds of projects are you drawn to?
I'm drawn to ones that are really collaborative, because, you know, I know there's like always the thing of like actors should always listen to directors, but like directors also should listen to actors.
Yes.
That's why like there are some really good directors that are also actors. So like, cause they know how everyone can work, but there are also directors that are not actors, but also like know how to communicate with actors. And so, you know, those are the ones I'm always about, is like where everyone can have some kind of input and things that are also just fun, you know, like not just like standing talking heads for a while, unless it's important for the plot or something. But I always like that. And I mean, I guess I feel like I want to do more drama directing, because even though it quote unquote, it's like not like easier, nothing is easy, but like those provide like some different kind of challenge than comedy does. Cause like comedy, like both are equal challenges, but like doing 12th Night as not only just a comedy, but a Shakespeare comedy, like that was the biggest marathon like ever. And even just doing the originals, like doing those, doing that comedy was so insanely difficult to do. And that was also like a collaborative piece as well, that was like able to help with that. So that, I like to collaborate.
Wanting to dip your toes into like new challenges and that kind of thing.
Exactly.
And you're kind of already touching this, but do you have any particular beliefs, values, sensibilities that you hold personally as a director, or like how you run a rehearsal room?
Yeah, I always like to run my rehearsal rooms if everybody can come forward with an idea. No idea will not be listened to, or no idea will be like thrown away. Like I think everything should be tried at least once. And if it works, awesome. Let's see how we can expand this idea into the grander scheme of the scene or the whole piece. Or maybe do we have to take a version of it and apply it somewhere else? You know, like I would rather have things be heard and things maybe be tried, so that everybody is not only feeling like they're being respected and like acknowledged in the room, but also a way of like the performers being comfortable with where their character and where their growth is coming from.
Yeah, 100%. And I love that. And I know that that's how you do things and how you run a rehearsal room, but I think it's so important. And it makes me sad when people don't run things that way, frankly. So
yeah.
I just wanted to hear about that. And then another Instagram question from @Christian_NYC. They say, please, please ask Bill what he thinks about a pro rock, pro wrestling slash rock musical theater as a whole.
Oh my, of course. This is my great friend, Christian. Long story short around this, my girlfriend Angelica is an associate producer for the Last Match musical that is pro wrestling, rock musical at the same time. And I have become like absorbed in this world just by association, and I've become obsessed. Like I'm quite literally wearing a wrestling shirt like underneath this sweatshirt right now. It's a great show. Like it's gonna be so fun wherever it goes next. It's a great show. I got to see like the concert of it in September, November? I don't remember. But I got to see it a couple months ago and I love it. And yeah, this is my friend Christian and we always have fun with it. So yeah.
You enjoyed it more than even probably you thought you would too.
Right. But yeah, because like it's one of those things where it's like you don't know what it's like until you're there. Like yeah. you can watch like WWE and like stuff like that on like YouTube or something like that, and like sure you know that it's like very intense, like fight choreography and everything like that and stunt work. But that was the first time I'd ever seen a wrestling thing live. So I like got all this energy and I walked out. I look at my girlfriend and I say, I need more of this. Like I need to learn everything. And so like we've been like watching wrestling like weekly. Like she's giving me history lessons. Like I'm learning everything.
I love it so much. Perfect segue into your love of stage combat too.
Yes.
Like you've always been my go-to in my mind about stage combat related things. I'm like, you need a fight call, get Bill. When and how did you get into stage combat work?
I mean, that started for me in high school. One of my teachers, Dustin, he like did the fight choreography for all of the shows that we did. And he also did a class. So I just took that class and I haven't like taken many classes really since. But I have been meaning to, but you know, money. But like that just like speared this love for it. And like now whenever I see a show, like I like to see like if there is any fighting in it, like who helped run those fights or who's the stunt coordinator. Like it's just so cool that you know you can construct all of that in movement so that it gives that audience that thrill of like, oh man, they are actually beating the crap out of each other right now. Yeah,
exactly. And then it's cool because like I'm sure seeing the names and like playbills and stuff like that, you're like, I'm starting to see some repeating names and things like that. But I think also on that, what you were speaking to of like that thrill of like, oh my God, it's real. But at the same time, you also have been a really strong advocate for the safety of it as well. Mm-hmm. And watching you run fight calls, I think reminds people, oh, right. This is also like, it's an exciting thing, but also it's very delicate and very consent-based. Like you need to know what's going on at all times.
Yeah, especially because some of the stuff that I have done has been like real. So that's why I always like check with the actors even prior. Is like, hey, is it okay? Are you okay with actually being hit in the face?
Right.
Like it would just be like a slap. Like, you know, and we're able to like make it work. And if they say no, then no, we get rid of it. That's fine. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, there's nothing like seeing a good fight work. I mean, I know we've gone to 12th Night a lot, but the greatest
storytelling of it too.
The storytelling of it. Yeah. My favorite. I have two favorite things that I've done fights for that have gotten such great reactions from audiences. Like I've lived with that like serotonin forever. In 12th Night, when I think it was Julie. Yeah, Julie grabbed Jack by the hair and threw him against that platform.
Yes, his nap was so good for that everyone was like, oh God, is he okay? Like
when that happened, and then the other was for Spring Awakening when Albert had to slap Elise.
Yes.
When I saw it, like because I had gone to like two or three rehearsals, but other than that, I was not really there. But then I saw the show and like I saw like how crisp it was, and I stared at it and I was like, I thought we said no to actual hitting. And they're like, we didn't. So
they're like, I didn't get
hit. Literally like went over to Elise after the show. I was like, are you okay? And she says, yeah, I'm fine. I'm like, okay. But Yeah, that was always rewarding to see though, but
that's so much fun. And do you, I mean, like, obviously money not being an issue and things like that, do you think that you might pursue like further combat training work?
Yeah, easily. Like more combat training. Like I know, like if you take a certain number of hour classes, you get certified. Yeah. And that'd be really cool to get certified in that and have that on a resume. Yeah. have that option for people and,
well,
and stuff
and I
like
think
that.
Also, as a director, that helps you so much as well, because you're like, I also know how this works. And so yeah, that like also helps with like people who end up going into like intimacy coordination later on, because right, surprisingly, they're very related.
Like, they are. No, they really are.
Yeah, it's so cool. And I hope you further pursue it and have the chance to later on, because I think you do some pretty dope shit with it. But yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've talked to so many friends who were in college when the pandemic hit and how that yeah, affected like their schooling. I'd really like to take a moment and talk about like your experience as an artist during sure, that time. I know I feel like we've beaten over this topic over the head with a bat or whatever, but like you stayed in the city during mm-hmm, it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to hear what that was like for you.
That was, it was a time. I mean, yeah, you know, like we were here, it was me and Zach, because our other roommate left, and you know, That was like such a crazy time to be here. You know, like I think the first time that I rode a subway train in 2020 was probably like 6 months into it.
Wow.
And that was, it was so terrifying. Like yeah, it was weird to be in there. I for fun, I think it was in that 6 month time, but like for fun, I was like, I'm going to go to Midtown. I'm going to walk around the theater district. I'm going to see what's going on. And it like, I've been known to watch like every TV show ever made. And
yes,
I've seen enough like post-apocalyptic shows to like see the image of the main character walking through the empty city and it's yeah, all like empty, barren, whatever. I never thought in my life I would have to like live that. And that's what it really felt like. And it just seeing all the marquees just down, and it was so sad. And
yeah.
And during that time, that's really where I was kind of evaluating, like, where do we want to go from here career-wise? Like, do we need to take a step back from the performing, the auditioning, and go to something more behind the scenes? Do we need to work for a management company? Do we need to work for a production company? Like, what do we need to do? I mean, that's how I circled back to where I am right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and there's obviously, like, still more plans. Like, in my mind, I'd love to jump on, but... That's really like how it was eerie, but also like I was able to do a couple like online Zoom readings for some plays of some friends, or Nick Durst directed a show that I was a part of for a theater in New Jersey. Like I never met any of the cast, I think, except for one yeah, on a train by happenstance, like, but so like that was fun to be a part of. So it was great that like things were made for people, but it also just really like that was just a hard toll that it took on everyone, you know. I'm not
absolutely like, well yeah, no, it affected yeah, all of us. And I think as artists, it definitely threw us all into a place that we weren't expecting to be in, particularly like to our class of 2019, that we weren't expecting to be in so soon in terms of
yeah,
career evaluation.
Right. Like, yeah, I mean, like we were already, I mean, not even a full year out of college, but then yeah, like you think of all the people that were about to leave college, like
yeah,
you know, that was yeah, I think like those, I mean, I yes, again, it affected everybody, like those two groups, like our group and then like the group right year behind after us, like those were rough, like rough times for everybody. And
yeah,
it's sad, but you know, yeah,
sorry. Oh, I was just gonna say really quick that it was also really interesting being a part of our class, but then also experiencing Zoom theater and Zoom theater school
yeah,
in a grad school program, because I right, kind of got a little bit of that taste of both classes' experiences. So
yeah,
I was just
did,
so interested to hear what it was like getting to experience it, like not in school at all, and being like, okay, what do I do? What do I do from here? And granted, like I feel like this is going to be a hard right in terms of a transition here, but sometimes we do things like make TikToks. And
there we go.
And there's didn't this incredible one that I just have to show the world. I'm not even going to provide context. It's just,
bring it.
It just is.
We know what it is.
Okay, stitch this with your best. Why the fuck did I retain every single word to this?
Oh, I had no beard. Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru, Republic, Dominican, Cuba, Caribbean, Greenland, El Salvador, too, Puerto Rico, Colombia, Venezuela, Honduras, Guyana, and still, Guatemala, Bolivia, then Argentina, and Ecuador, Chile, Brazil, Costa Rica, Belize, Nicaragua, Bermuda, Bahamas, Tobago, San Juan, Paraguay, Uruguay, Suriname, French Guiana, Barbados, and Guam. Oh, man. Sweden and Iceland, Finland and Germany, now One Piece, Switzerland, Austria, Czechoslovakia, Italy, Turkey, and Greece, Poland, Romania, Scotland, Albania, Ireland, Russia, Oman, Bulgaria, Saudi Arabia, Hungary, Cyprus, Iraq, and Iran, there, Syria, Lebanon, Israel, Jordan, Bulgaria, Yemen, Kuwait, and Bahrain, the Netherlands, Luxembourg, Belgium, and Portugal, France, and Denmark, and Spain. Yes, I was like, I need to have some choreography in there.
No, it was great.
Korea, Japan, Mongolia, Laos, and Tibet, Indonesia, the Philippines, and Taiwan, Sri Lanka, New Guinea, Sumatra, New Zealand, and Borneo, and Vietnam, Tunisia, Morocco, Uganda.
Oh, yeah. That's where it ends. But
yeah, I had a second part of that as well. But.
That's okay. But, like, I have to admit, the fact that you have, like, no life on your face during that entire video,
it's hilarious,
but it also speaks to all of our mental states during the pandemic.
That was a time that I went home.
Like, that was your Bo Burnham inside moment. Like,
that was my Bo Burnham inside moment in a way. Yeah. That was a weird part of me life in pandemic world, because like I had been living in this city, but then I left and then I took a little trip and then I'm back in Ohio, but then also like other things happened that I was like not in a good mental state. And I think I saw like that original video of just like someone like say like all the things like you remember lyrics to, and I'm like, I sometimes retain lyrically weird things or just the most random things in my head. So I just did that, and I didn't like realize like how deadpan my face was until people were acknowledging it in those comments, and that because of that people thought I was cheating, and like people thought I had like a board behind it. I'm like, what? Like, you think I'm speed reading? Like, do you see how fast I'm reciting these things? Like, I wasn't playing this song at normal speed. It was faster than what it was, because I was trying to fit it in. And
it was like 1.25 the speed.
Yes. I did try to go 1.5, but that was like requiring me to develop skills that I don't have. So it was that. Yeah. So that was really funny that people just assumed that I did that. But yeah, when I made that, I just made that for fun. I barely made TikToks like ever, and I still barely do. Like, I've been trying to like rebrand my TikTok to make it about like movies and stuff, but I get too busy and I forget to make them. So I just remember making that. I posted it. I then went to bed. I wake up and it has like 500,000 views, and I just, what the hell did I just do? Like, I didn't do anything.
You're like, this wasn't on purpose.
Right. And it was crazy because like the dude that voices that character, Rob Paulsen, liked the video because so many people tagged him in it. And that was so like that was really cool. And yeah, like that was just a fun little way to escape a low part of me from the pandemic at that point.
No, but exactly. And
my claim to fame.
Exactly. It's a fantastic claim to fame, to be quite honest.
One hit wonder right here.
Exactly. and it was cool because you got to end up like working on a different side of theater that you weren't expecting to during the pandemic, working with like Today Ticks.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, how has been working on an administrative side of theater? I'm so sorry. Moss is just like wanting to really be in my lap and like clawing everything right now. How is working on the administrative side of theater, I guess, informed you as an artist and going forward with things, being like, okay, now that I know what this side of the business is like, I can bring this with me?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much that just goes on in this industry. It's just insane because, you know, like I took in college like a business event, like an entertainment business class, like for my learning community, and sure, I like retained that information and spat it back for the A or whatever, but seeing this like in practice and seeing all these different groups of people who are in different fields but then also share that love of theater and bringing theater to people is so cool. like, there are people that work in like our finance department that I'm pretty sure, I mean, I don't talk to everybody in the company, it's a big company, yeah, but I'm pretty sure maybe have never been on a stage like as a performer before, but they love theater so much. And they'll be like, I'll do this like to for money things. Like the Today Tech marketing team is fantastic. And like they come up with some of the coolest ideas for promotions and stuff like that. Like it just, you see more of like, rather than just what you see when you sit in the audience, and not even just like the technical side of it, but like you get to see like what's even behind that curtain too. Mm-hmm. Like you get to see like just how things get to where they need to be so that they are here. You know, like we learn about pre-sale things for certain shows. We learn about like other things are coming in like for shows, like we, so that we have things like prepared to properly finance it and market it. And it's just cool, like to see all of those pieces like come apart, that even if it's just for a ticketing agency, you know, it's cool. It's really cool.
It reminds you like, oh, there are people who like, they're not just there for like the creation of theater, but like they just love theater and experiencing it.
Yeah. And we love theater. We love experiencing theater. We want everyone to do that. Mm-hmm. And we want to find the ways to do that. And I think, and not just Today Tech, but like a lot of different places all have that mission, and it's great.
Yeah. And I feel like sometimes as actors or artists in particular, we can sometimes take that for granted just because of like how focused on what we're doing in our career, that like it's kind of a nice reminder to be like, oh right, there are these people out there who like they are not artists, they do not create, but they love being there and experiencing it and it being in the joy of it.
Yeah. Which is why, again, it goes back, collaboration. That's all the stuff I like.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's so perfect, and it all comes around in a beautiful circle just right at the end of the episode. See, we fit it all in. Where can people find you on social media and that kind of thing?
Sure. My Instagram and Twitter are the same. It is my name, but there are two underscores in between it. So it's Bill, two underscores, Weatherby. Ooh, I tried to get one underscore, but it was taken by somebody. And I thought there was only one of me in the world.
Apparently
so that is my Twitter and Instagram. I use Twitter more until it eventually dies out. Who knows? And then TikTok, I changed my username recently. What is it? Oh, TikTok is at Bill Talks Movies.
Love that.
So look me up there.
Yes, because that's a whole nother subject we could have touched on as well, as your adoration for movies.
But
if you want to talk movies with Bill, just hit him up, you know?
Let's do it.
Let's chat movies. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter, again, until it dies, at Laura_Marjoram, and my website, www.lauramarjoram.com. You can find this show on Instagram at Overtures Show. That's where you can submit questions like Bill's friends did today, have a grand old discussion. You can see the bios and pictures of people coming up next to get to know who they are, and also just see all the upcoming updates. That's where everything is most up to date, so you know what's happening. If you're watching the video version of this, you are on YouTube. Congrats. Yay, you made it.
Hi, YouTube. Subscribe,
comment, like, all that good stuff. Everything helps. And we would love to continue to have you here. You can set reminders on future episodes and that kind of thing. We're also on Spotify and Apple Music. I regularly release episodes that I do here on Spotify and Apple Music, so you can listen on the go. You don't even have to sit in front of your computer and listen the whole time. You can just, I don't know, pop your earbuds in on the subway. And then we also have a Ko-Fi page. So if you feel so obligated to buy Overtures a coffee of sorts, the proceeds go to help continue fund this show so I can continue to talk to amazing, talented people like Bill. But aww. Yeah. So Bill, do you have any final thoughts for viewers live and in the future?
Expand your horizons and respect the people you work with.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely feel that. I definitely feel that. And with those beautiful words of wisdom, we will end this episode here. Thank you so much, Bill, for being on. And thank you, everyone, for watching, listening, all that good stuff. And we will see you all later.
Bye.